Hi, this is Sarah Flower, one of the COVID-19 reporters for KSUT. Today, I am joined with Dr. Jennifer Rupp, who is the Four Corners Infectious Disease Specialist at Mercy Regional Medical Center. Dr. Rupp, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT.
Thank you for having me.
For yourself, having studied infectious disease for over 20 years, how is COVID-19 different from anything else you've seen, and how is it the same?
Well, as far as how it's the same, we'll start with that. Certainly every year and every few seasons, we do see epidemics within our country. And the one that we're almost familiar with is the influenza, the seasonal influenza that we see every year, which causes, as you know, hundreds of thousands of cases and certainly some deaths. But what's distinct and what's different with COVID is that this became a pandemic, but it became a pandemic on a population where none of us had any immunity whatsoever. We had no pre-existing vaccine, such as we do with influenza. And a lot of us do have some immunity to influenza. But with COVID virus, it's a totally new virus that's striking all of us without immunity. So we would like to call ourselves as naive. We have no pre-existing immunity whatsoever.
I know this is a novel virus. I know San Juan Basin Public Health has been saying they've been studying this and looking at it for 90 days, which is pretty new. Right. What are we learning about COVID-19?
A few of the things that we're learning as a community, I would like to point out, is that isolation tends to work. If we can truly just stop ourselves from moving, interacting, and trying to expose each other to the virus, we're finding that we are indeed flattening the curve. So that's a fascinating aspect of epidemiology in virology. Furthermore, you can say that leads to the importance of cooperation in our society. If we can all just band together, do what we need to do to stop the spread of the virus, we can see that we're making some difference in our numbers.
What models are you looking at? And as a doctor, how do you navigate all of those different, you know, philosophies out there?
That's a really great question because as you know, you said you've done a lot of research. There is so much out there that you can read. If you even just Google it, it's endless what you can read and learn from. So in the medical field, we tend to rely on a few standbys that we really trust. And of course, the number one is the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control. The other one we rely on entirely is WHO, the World Health Organization. These agencies have been in business for most of the 20th century, and correctly, they have identified what's best for the public as far as controlling outbreaks, diseases, but they also go into the science and helping us to understand how the viral dynamics and how this virus spreads. As far as clinical knowledge, how do we gain our knowledge and how to manage these patients? Well, we rely on the giants who've come before us, which unfortunately are the cities that have been hit the hardest. We're learning so much data at a rapid pace from the hospitals in Seattle and New York City. We're just learning quickly what works, what doesn't work. And the most alarming thing, or I would say the interesting and yet alarming thing, is that the knowledge changes on a daily basis on what to do for these patients.
Probably more so today in 2020 than ever before. You know, you're taking this knowledge every day from a fire hose. So it's hard to sip it, you know, you're just inundated with all of this information. I feel like it's a choice paralysis of what do you look at and what do you trust?
That's exactly right. And we rely on each other as medical professionals, knowing what we already know on how to manage sick patients, but this virus has been very unique in how it affects certain people. And I guess we can go into the question is, who gets sick and who doesn't? Mm-hmm. I'll go over just specifically, you know, the facts roughly are about the same in this virus. 80% of us may not get sick at all. 20% of us do get sick. And a large majority of those people who become ill do very well, can either be asymptomatic or have a very mild illness. But it's that critical percentage of those who become extremely ill. And that's where we're getting our numbers for mortality and death rates are from those individuals.
I think back to cold and flu season, January, February, March, and some people thinking, oh, did I have it? Did I already have COVID-19? Is that what it was? Dr. Rupp, do you think everyone will get it at some point?
I think that is a fascinating thing to think about. And what we're all talking about is, I think at some point, the majority of us are going to be exposed to the virus. Now, whether or not we're going to have it or get a clinical illness, probably not. But if at some point, if those antibody tests do come out, and if you could test just a random sample, I bet we'll be not surprised to see that we've all been exposed at some point to this virus.
Do you think this will just run its course? Or is a vaccine going to be needed in place before we can completely go away?
Yeah, Sarah, I think it's both of those, definitely. This disease will certainly run its course in the sense that a lot of us are going to be exposed and we're going to develop some sort of a herd or a group immunity to this. And those of us who are immune will hopefully blunt that sort of infection to all of those who still haven't been infected. Maybe that will buy us some time until we do get a vaccine. Keeping in mind vaccines cannot come around very rapidly. It may take up to a year, maybe a year and a half. I hope it's sooner, but it may be that long before we do get an effective vaccine to help blunt our illness to this virus. So as I said, it's going to be a combination of both herd immunity and vaccination.
Anything else that you want to add or that our listeners should know about COVID-19 in our region from really our local expert here?
We know that masks tend to work. And don't forget about the social distancing issue. The droplet, we think, goes anywhere from 6 feet to 12 feet. After that, the droplet of the virus falls to the ground. So even if you're not wearing a mask, if you can distance 6 to 12 feet, that alone can also help greatly diminish transmission of this virus. And one other issue besides the droplet I want to talk about, just going over that, when we speak, sneeze, cough, sometimes even breathe, we do exhale and expel a few droplets, which can have viral particles in them. So they spew out into the air, they travel for a few feet, 6 to 12 feet, and drop to the ground. That's the main mode of how this virus is transmitted to each other. It's less so if we sneeze onto a surface like a countertop, and then if you touch that countertop, you can transmit the virus to yourself. That doesn't transmit as much, but it certainly can do it. And lastly, people have been asking about animals, pets. A couple of articles have been coming out on the study of pets and can pets transmit COVID from their owners to another person. And so far, the data is showing that that is not the case. So animals are not transmitters of COVID in the dog and cat population, which is happy news.
That's very happy news. Dr. Jennifer Rupp, infectious disease specialist for Mercy Regional Medical Center and around the Four Corners, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT.